You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen to this headline. Immersive Willy Wonka experience ends in disaster as parents call cops after kids show up to near empty warehouse with no candy.
That's a bit spooky and weird, right?
Yeah, so I guess this happened in Scotland, in Glasgow. There was this thing they were calling the Willy's Chocolate Experience. Tickets were $45 a person.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be like you got in there and it was Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
Yeah, of course.
There's candy everywhere. You could take stuff. There was going to be a bounce castles and all kinds of things. And they showed up and it looked nothing like they advertised online. It's hilarious because when you look at these pictures, it's like they showed up to an empty warehouse, like a kindergartner decorated with cardstock.
Promoter took a shot, right? Took a swing, said, let's see if we could sell some tickets. I'm going to make a ton of cash here. I don't know what the Willy Wonka licensing rights are, but I'm guessing that this person didn't actually have them. They're just trying to put something together here, make a little coin. Strike while the iron's hot on the movie. By the way, the movie made no money either. So that could have been an indicator.
Look at the picture of the lady they have working as an Oompa Loompa. Hold on.
Oh, no. This poor lady's sitting there. It's like her and her husband's idea. They thought they're going to mortgage the house to rent the warehouse and make this happen. Oh. And she just knows they're broke and they're probably going to end up in court.
There's some places, though, that, like when you visit, there's so much hype around it. And then when you actually show up, you're like, This stinks. This is a tourist trap like I have never seen before.
Right.
Anything that says Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, but there's no actual chocolate in there, I think we could probably put on that list as well.
You know, I have to say, I was really, really excited. So I took a road trip at one point, and, you know, I made all the stops, the weird little places and the big places, too. So there were plenty of disappointments, but you can't be mad at somebody when you pursue the world's largest ball of twine or last RV drive-in, you know, motorhome or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But did go to Mount Rushmore. Controversy aside, thought it was a very nice place, cool to look at, that's for sure. And then took the drive onto Lakota, you know, reservation grounds to the Crazy Horse Monument. And there's nothing there. There's one store there.
That's it.
I thought there was going to be like, you know, at least like, you know, different, a restaurant, different things you could visit or whatever it may be. Build it up. You know, Wall Drug is on the way out there. That thing is like 2 miles long.
Yeah.
You get out there to Crazy Horse, there's nothing. I drove over a bridge that I don't think I was supposed to be driving over with a rental truck. It was scary, actually.
Well, you want to talk about, like, you get there and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
How about the very opposite when you go to Times Square?
Oh.
Times Square is a tourist trap like you would not believe because you show up and it's the big city lights and all that. But that's all there is lights. Unless you want to get assaulted by somebody dressed as Mickey Mouse, who's not going to, you have to pay them $12 to take a picture with them. Like, right. Trust me, it's not really a place you want to be. And all they sell in all those stores for the most part are like $5 t-shirts that say, I love New York.
You could also check in at the Outback or the Red Lobster there and get the same meal that you could get somewhere in your town for like, I don't know, $20 for like $60.
If you want to talk international, Leaning Tower of Pisa.
You've told me this.
I know that this is controversial because some people really enjoy it. But I remember as a child going there and being so deeply disappointed. It was a toss-up between Stonehenge and Leaning Tower of Pisa for like the most boring. You want to talk about in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
I mean, I get it. Like Stonehenge, like that's where the aliens went. So I guess they had to go somewhere remote.
I was going to say, I mean, that part of it at least is more attractive to me.
They had one cart of food and the scones weren't fresh. And I'll never forget it. I was like, I just sat hungover in this bus for 6 hours to get here. There's not a single alien here, and I got to eat a scone that's been 4 days old. Ugh.
Very upsetting.
Switch to Cricket and let your flip era unfold by getting the all-new extraordinary Motorola Razr for just $199.99. Smile, you're on Cricket. If you missed it a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the sleep hacks that actually work. And we were shocked when not one, but a couple people called in and they said this.
So you're actually actually not going to believe this, but I saw it on some social media platform. Lettuce water.
You know, somebody had just texted that in, and I thought that that was insane. So you've actually drank the lettuce water? You've done this?
Okay, so I've never done this, but I saw a video of this really funny guy on social media. Although I'm very tempted to feed it to my children when they're up late at night.
Right, right. You don't want to put it in your mouth, but right, with the kids, maybe.
I'll guinea pig them a little, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So he boils lettuce for like maybe 20 minutes and then strained the lettuce into a cup.
Yeah.
And then waited for it to cool and then drank it. And then over time, you saw him. I mean, I don't know if he was really heavily editing the video, but over time, his eyelids were getting heavier, and he said he slept for about 2.5 hours.
Which leads me to Raven, producer John, and producer Sean. Why do you have containers of what looks like urine sitting in front of you?
Please don't do this.
Oh, I mean, no.
It is lettuce water that I made last night in my kitchen.
Right. It's like stuff floating in it.
It's lettuce,
don't
Sean.
Do this.
Yes. No, this is the greatest thing we've ever done in our lives. I spent all last night boiling heads of lettuce. I wasn't sure what kind of lettuce to use. I wasn't sure to use romaine or iceberg or, you know, there was some kale involved. And I was like, I'm going to just take a big head of lettuce and I'm going to just boil it and we're going to see what happens. And it made this beautiful yellow looking liquid that has green stuff floating
good.
In
there's
it.
There's kale in it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Mine's leaking and it's not nice smelling.
Well, I did buy the containers at IKEA, so I can't make any promises. But you have to get it home, and here's what we're going to do. Tonight, each of you, before bed, is going to video yourselves drinking this delicious lettuce water that I made. And then you're going to see, do your eyes get droopy? Can you control the fact that you're going to fall asleep immediately? And then you're going to report back tomorrow at the same time. How do you feel about that?
How long before going to bed do you want me to actually induce this?
I mean, according to this lady and what I read on the internet, it's supposed to be immediate. But I don't really know the science behind it.
Okay, so I'm going to say 20 minutes before bedtime. I'm going to give this a shot.
Yeah.
And we'll see how sleepy I get.
Yeah. John, Sean, you guys cool with this?
I'm not happy about it, but I'm cool with it.
All right.
Anything for the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He's excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's all right. Excited.
Well, if everything I've read online, and there's been a lot of people that have said this, if it works, lettuce water may be the key to falling asleep immediately. So why not give it a try?
Here's the thing. I'm normally ready to pass out long before it's actually my bedtime anyway. So I don't know if I'm good enough for science, but we'll find out.
Also, make sure that you pay attention to whether your eyes get droopy, because she said that your eyes get droopy, and I've read that on the internet too.
Mm.
Okay?
How do you watch those if you're falling asleep?
Well, I don't know. I just video it, I guess. All right, tomorrow, same time, we'll report back.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you nuts right now? 1-800-330-9999. Go ahead. Vent. Get it off your chest. Here we go. Erica, that's all I need to know about you.
If you are putting on makeup in the rearview mirror while you are driving, that's all I need to know about you.
Only when you're at red lights and stop signs. Everybody knows that's the rules.
I mean, I've seen people do worse, so I'm not going to.
I think it's all bad.
Yeah, no, it is all bad.
No, I'm just kidding. It's
the
bad.
The amount of people that you see, if you are sitting at a red light, that you see turning into your cross street, that are looking at their phones as they're going through the turn, like you could tell because it's in their lap. It's insane.
But the phone is one thing because that's an addiction. It's not right, but I understand.
But you're reading there. You're concentrating more than putting on lipstick.
Listen. But when you're putting mascara on, lipstick I think is okay. I think you could put on chapstick or lipstick, and I think it's fine because you don't need to see. But when you're putting on your mascara and you're putting on your eyeliner and you're putting like your face on, your foundation, you have to see what you're doing. And now you're taking your eyes off the road.
I mean, the same thing as reading a sentence? Yes. Yeah, they're both bad. They're both real bad.
Gina, that's all I need to know about you.
If you think that using gift wrapping is better than just putting the gift in a bag, then that's all I need to know about you.
Some people are diehards when it comes to gift wrapping, and they do such a beautiful job. It's almost like artwork. It's like a craft project.
When I get a gift, I prefer it be wrapped.
Really?
Over than in a bag, yep.
I mean, I could go either
way. Just find putting it in a bag is just so easy.
And it is.
That's why I want it to be wrapped.
I don't have time.
I also have a collection of 7,684 bags I've collected over the last decade. And it's so easy just to go get that. Whenever I want to wrap something, I go, and there's never any wrapping paper.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
That's what I do, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to cut the wrapping paper, and it's never, like, even. You have to make sure it fits the box. It's just, it's a whole process, and I don't need to overcomplicate my life like that. So, yeah, just use the bag that you got from last year.
I mean, why would your friend feel like you were... I mean, this is exactly why I want you to wrap my gift. Wrap my gift, girl. Wrap it.
I only wrap for Christmas. Everything else, nope, going in a bag.
I'm too busy. You're the busiest at Christmas time. That makes no sense whatsoever.
It's part of the holiday.
Oh, my gosh.
You can outsource your wrapping.
Well,
that's
right,
what I would do.
Right. Then that's
if you insist on having a wrapped gift, I'll outsource the wrapping.
Perfect. Now you're back invited to my birthday party. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Rory, that's all I need to know about you.
If you go to a 10 items or less line at the grocery store and you have more than 10 items in your cart, that's all I need to know about you.
How many items over?
Oh.
How many over?
You know. You know if you don't belong in that line.
Yeah.
You're aware of it.
Yeah. What if it's a person that's operating that line, too? Because I feel like that person is just lonely most of the time, right? Like, mm-hmm. instead of a self-checkout, there's a person operating this express line. I feel like they're lonely if nobody's there.
No. I think they're fine. And if you're just going there because there's no line there. Although, oddly, I don't know if you've realized this, Rory, but I feel like that line always seems to be the longest lately.
Mm.
Right? I don't know why. People just buy less because everything's so expensive.
People are pushing back on the self-checkout line.
Like 6 items. That's all I can afford this week. And I get it.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
Anna and Raven.
It's no surprise that many people are addicted to social media, and now a woman has gone viral because she has come up with a theory to explain why it's so addictive.
Look at her, though. We're playing right into that addiction by having to look her up on social media.
Yeah, but when I started listening and I heard why she went viral, I was so confused.
One thing I can't stop thinking about is called the Dorito theory. The idea is that only experiences that aren't truly satisfying are maximally addictive. So imagine eating Doritos. When you eat a Dorito and finish your bite, you're not fully satisfied. It's not the same as eating a steak.
Okay, like it's temporary, you know. That's why you always, you know, nobody can have just one,
yeah.
right?
And what she's saying is nothing really new, but it's giving it a new name. It's the idea that unsatisfying activities can be the most addictive, like social media, like eating potato chips.
Mm, and let's blame Doritos for that.
Right.
By putting their name on it.
But she has a lot more to explain about this, but I started thinking about it, Raven, and I think Doritos are satisfying. So I brought in a bag of Cool Ranch and a bag of nacho cheese. Which bag would you like?
I'm a nacho guy.
Okay. There you go.
They're not spicy, right?
Oh! Nope. Just regular.
Hit me right in the stomach with it.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. While she keeps talking this nonsense, we're going to eat some chips and see if we're satisfied while she's talking and explaining her theory.
Okay.
Eating potato chips is addictive because the peak of the experience is kind of when you're tasting it and not after. There's kind of nothing that exists actually once the experience is done. The experience itself is not satisfying in the end. It's kind of the moment of having is the satisfying part.
Do you, when you open a bag of chips, do you grab the largest chips on the top right away?
Yeah.
Or do you take the like half chip, like broken ones that are like on the side with that, because you just threw them at me. I have some broken ones.
I have the premium ones on top. I ate 5 chips while she was saying that. Do you feel satisfied, Raven? Or do you feel like you just consumed empty calories?
I mean, they're empty calories. I want to keep eating them, but they were tasty.
Let's go back to eating Doritos while she gets to the point, okay?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I think this applies to a lot of different very addictive things in life, like the infinite scroll on TikTok. You're never satisfied after you engage in the behavior. It's really just that moment of hitting the scroll is when the dopamine comes.
So basically what she's saying is like eating a bag of chips is like scrolling. It feels good at the time, but after you're done, you just feel bad about yourself.
I'm going to need you to swallow before you keep talking.
All right, I'm sorry. Hold on. She's going to keep talking about stuff. This is an important part.
Okay.
Now that I have a word for it, now that I have a framework for it with Dorito theory, just this idea that things that aren't actually satisfying are the ones that are maximally addictive and that's why I want them, I think I can identify those areas and try to avoid them more effectively.
Here's the thing. Great. We put a name on it. We call it the Dorito theory. But we haven't solved anything. All we're saying is that eating Doritos is not satisfying when you're done. And it's the same thing like social media. You don't feel satisfied when you're done with it. You just feel bad about yourself.
When she started talking, when you first brought this up, yeah. I thought to myself that this theory could actually, you know, have some good validity here. And then I started eating Doritos, and I didn't hear a thing that happened after that.
No.
Because, like, I have no idea.
But this was satisfying. I don't know what she's talking about. Eating Doritos is very satisfying.
We have a bigger problem.
I can't stop eating these chips.
No, I can't finish this by pressing a button because then we're going to have Dorito cheese all over stuff here in the studio.
All right.
Big problem. Mm-hmm.
If your significant other is sick, do you let them go anywhere near your child? And is Sean out of line? Raven, producer Sean. Sean, what happened?
So Rachel was sick for about a week, a little over a week, honestly. And when she started getting sick, I dropped the ball on her. And I said, listen, you're not touching our son, Booker. You can have no interaction with him. You're not feeling good. I don't want to risk getting him sick and then in turn getting me sick.
Now, as a mom, can you imagine all of a sudden being told, nope, you can't touch your baby. How old is Booker now? 6 months? 7 months?
He's 9 months.
9 months. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. 9 months. Being like, nope, you can't touch your baby until you 100% feel better. How long did it go that you did not allow her to go near the baby?
Almost a full week and a half. I even waited like a day or two after, which she was like, you know, actually feeling better. And I was like, no, still don't want to risk it. Want to wait it out.
So, I mean, there's two sides of this, obviously. I mean, you know, one, you're hurt. You want to spend time with your baby, of course. You know, you want to kiss and hug your baby. But if you're not feeling well, you know, getting a little time off, well, I can't touch him. Which means that I can't care for him, which means that basically all the responsibilities are on you. Did she, you know, enjoy any of that aspect of it?
She didn't really seem to enjoy that aspect of it because, you know, of course, as Anna stated, you know, you want to be with your kid, you want to hold your kid. But again, man, I'm sorry. If you're sick, like the last thing you want is a sick baby, too, because let's be honest, kids can be like, you know, when kids are sick. You know, I mean, clearly, I know Booker's a baby, but when kids are sick, you know, they're not covering their mouth when they sneeze, they're snotting everywhere, they're coughing on everything. And again, I don't want to risk getting myself sick.
Yeah. But hold on. This is the important part here. This is why I think you're out of line, is that she had a cold. It's not like she had the flu. She wasn't vomiting. She wasn't, like, in bed with a fever of 102 where you are incapable of doing it. She had a cold.
All right, Anna, let me ask you something.
Uh-huh.
How is your husband when he gets a cold?
Well, he is a giant baby, but when I have a cold, nobody says, Mommy, you can't take care of us for the next week and a half. I mean, I wish somebody would, but that's not a real thing.
Well, I only mention it because I feel like, you know, it's a whole thing where they say, like, men, like, take sicknesses worse than women do, and I think that's true because I know when I get a cold, I'm like, I'm down and out, you know? And again, last thing I wanted to do was get Booker sick and in turn getting me sick. Because then I'm going to be sitting there being a big old baby for the next week and a half complaining about my cold.
How'd she take it?
It was not what she said. She always tried to kind of sneak. Like, if I went to the bathroom real quick, I would, like, catch her, like, trying to sneak over to Booker.
To touch like, him.
To touch him. Yeah, exactly. Peeking around the corner.
Don't touch the child you birthed.
Slap her hand. As a guy, I just feel like we're on high alert with babies and baby health anyways, right? Because we don't feel as qualified in some ways, not speaking for all of them, but myself, we don't feel as qualified in some ways. Obviously, we're on high alert if the baby's sick. We're afraid. We're definitely afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sean was out of line. I think that telling your girlfriend you can't touch our baby for a week to 9 days is absolutely insane. And I think most people will agree with me.
I don't know. As a mom, I would just, you know, try and take the silver lining there, but I can't tell her how to feel, obviously.
Was Sean out of line for not letting his girlfriend touch their baby for 7 days while she had a cold? 1-800-330-9999. Do you think producer Sean was out of line? 1-800-330-9999. He and his girlfriend have a 9-month-old son, Booker. She got sick, Rachel, and you didn't let her touch or go anywhere near the baby for over a week.
Not at all. Nope, not allowed. When you're sick, that baby can't get sick. I don't want the baby to get sick, so no.
Not flu, not COVID, not any of those things. A cold. Just a regular cold.
Excuse me, I don't know. Anna, are you a doctor now? All right. Is Sean a doctor? All he knows is somebody's bringing something bad into the house. Keep it away from our son. That's all. Maybe find the good side of this and just take a week off, Rachel.
No, she wasn't happy about it. And as a mom, I understand that. Like, don't tell me I can't touch my baby for a week.
Jill, what do you think? Is producer Sean out of line? He didn't let Rachel touch the baby for a week?
Absolutely not. I am from a family of there's 5 of us. And if somebody is sick, that person is in quarantine in their room and we do not see them for a week.
So let me ask you, was this quarantine before like pandemic times, or did it like all get heightened during that time?
It definitely got heightened, but you just see the germs do not spread once that person is in a room by themselves and can come out for the bathroom, but they have to wear a mask. Going out of the room, back into the room. So no, he is not out of line. Good luck. Take care.
Am I a crazy person? All I wanted to do was sleep in my garage one day during the pandemic. I was just like, you know what? I wanted to feel quarantined. And then, of course, be able to emerge when I wanted to after.
Brent, was Sean out of line?
Yeah, I would have done the same thing. I mean, I know that they're supposed to build your immunity, but when you have a baby, you don't want the little thing to get sick. You know, I would have done anything I could to keep my son from getting sick when he was a baby.
I'm telling you, guys are paranoid.
I love it. Thank you, Brent, because, I mean, maybe it's just me being a helicopter dad. It's my first kid, though. Sometimes I want to put him in a bubble, so he's like the bubble boy, you know, just so he's, like, away from all the fears and illnesses of the world.
You're talking about his mother. You're taking him away from his mother.
She was sick.
You know, she could view him from across the room. If you had a glass partition, that would be great. You know, she could kind of wave. Oh, you remember that movie with John Travolta? Probably not.
But it's a week. He's not going to forget who his mother is in a week, and we're keeping him from, you know, suffering.
Sandra, what do you think? Was Sean out of line?
Oh, 100% Sean made the right choice. You never know at all what is going around these days. Like, RSV is on the massive rise. Adults are even starting to get it. Caring for your child's well-being over your partner's feelings is 100% the move. I am with you, Sean.
Numbers don't lie. Exit polls say, Anna, he's ahead.
Thank you, Sandra, and it seems that I made the right decision.
I don't know about that. Eric, what do you think? You think it's a bad idea that producer Sean wouldn't let his girlfriend near their baby because she was sick?
No, I don't think that that's bad. I mean, don't be mean about it and, like, treat them like a leper. But, hey, you know, we got a vulnerable baby here. You're ill. Just keep your distance. You know, blow kisses from across the room, and I would leave it at that. But, yeah, don't be mean about it, though.
See, so it comes down to the teasing, right? I mean, she can wave through the window. Hi, look, as long as you're not, you know, na-na-na-na, boo-boo, you can't touch your baby.
Well, I treated her terribly, like a leper. I had a spray bottle and sprayed her if she got too close.
Good. Good.
That seems rational.
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us and they let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Susanna and Jamie, I don't know whose side of the story I want to hear first, but Susanna, go ahead, explain.
So my husband, Jamie, and I, we really love animals. He works at an animal shelter and does everything in his power, goes way out of his way to take care of them, which is incredibly admirable. He's a good man. But he did notice recently that a few houses away, one of our neighbors keeps their dog chained up outside, like 24 hours a day. It really messes with him, you know? It breaks his heart because he hears this dog crying and whining all day. One night, it was wandering the neighborhood. It must have broken off of its leash. He took it upon himself to take the dog and let another coworker from the shelter have it. It's going to have a better life with the coworker, and I understand the logic in a vacuum, in a perfect world, but this is so illegal, and it's stressing me out so much. It's been 2 days, no one has said anything, the neighbor hasn't posted any missing signs, and there's no issue now. I'm just kind of living in this state of anxiety because I want to make sure that we don't get fined or even arrested for taking someone's pet.
Jamie, what's your side of this?
Well, for instance, she mentioned that there's no missing posters, right? Like, that says a lot. I mean, these are the kind of dogs we get at the shelter, dogs that are neglected or abused. I'm not going to wait till it gets so bad that he's going to bring it to the shelter. I'm going to take care of it now. And he wouldn't even know I did it, right? It wasn't even on his property. It was wandering around the neighborhood at night. You know, what would you do?
Hmm. Wait, he had no collar on? Nothing?
But I mean, I know the dog because the guy's my neighbor. I honestly think he's glad to be rid of the dog. I don't think he wants the dog. He doesn't act like he does anyway.
So I've got a couple questions here, Jamie. Number one, you said that the dog's been outside 24/7. So the dog is living outside on this leash on the yard of this neighbor.
Yelping, barking all day,
and
all night.
And did you ever report this to animal control? Did animal control visit the house? Because that's illegal in a lot of places.
This opportunity just kind of came, like seeing the dog around the, I hadn't gone through official channels, but then when I saw the dog this one night, I was like, well, I'm going to do something about it.
The law states, as I'm sure you know, if you find a roaming animal, you're supposed to report it to animal control.
Yeah.
You could say you took it to a shelter and then it was adopted out. You wouldn't want to throw your shelter under the bus. I got to tell you, I share your anxiety, Susanna, where you're like, something could happen. Somebody could find out and they could still do that. On the other hand, Jamie, there's no question in my mind I would have done the exact same thing.
I mean, how would you do the exact same thing? The right way to go is to report the owner and go through the proper channels.
And like, and then wait weeks for the processing to go through and the visit. And the guy's going to be like, oh, I'm going to be a great dog owner now. Like, no, he's a bad dog owner.
No, Jamie knows it doesn't even work that way. He's at a shelter. And most states, a dog is not like a family member or whatever. It's a piece of property. And your neighbor owns the dog. And they will have no choice but to give it back to him.
So, Jamie, you gave this dog to a coworker.
Right.
Okay.
That dog's living its best life right now. Well, dog's probably on a couch in a dog bed right now. He's got a toy.
Exactly.
Gosh.
Inside.
What do you think? Was Jamie wrong to take that dog and give it to his coworker?
The way I look at it, he walked up to you looking for a ride, Jamie. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Jamie dog napped a dog. I guess that's how you say it.
I mean, the dog walked up to him after getting itself off a leash in a bad situation.
Jamie and Susanna, they have a neighbor that they think mistreats their dog. That dog is always tied up outside, doesn't matter the weather, and they can't stand it. Well, one day, not too long ago, I think she said like 3 days ago, Jamie saw the dog walking by itself down the street. So Jamie picked up the dog. He works in an animal shelter, brought it to the animal shelter, and gave it to one of his coworkers. And now the dog belongs with the coworker. And Susanna is out of her mind about it.
Listen, she's got anxiety about the fact that they're going to get into some sort of trouble over this situation. But, you know, Jamie says this dog is clearly neglected. All right. He needs to eat better. He needs to be washed. He's outside crying and whining and tied up all the time and during all sorts of different types of weather. This is not a good situation.
Well, do you think he was wrong for taking that dog and giving it to somebody else? 1-800-330-9999. Kathy, who side are you on?
I side with the husband. You know, there is so much abuse going on today with animals. And you know what? The courts do nothing about it.
You're right.
This guy saw an opportunity to give this dog a better life. The owner didn't want the dog. Come on. Let the dog stay where it is.
I'm with you. Thanks. Have a great day.
To play devil's advocate, there was a similar situation where a friend of mine was very upset because she thought her neighbor was abusing her dog. The dog was always outside and tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And she called animal control. She did the whole thing. And we cursed out that neighbor. And how dare they? And all that.
Sure.
Turns out that the dog, they had put invisible fence in. And it was during a training period. And the dog was being cared for. And the reason why it was tied up, it was not fully trained yet. So I just think it's not always what it seems. I mean, if he knows for a fact, that's one thing. But if he's just assuming based on what he sees from a half a mile down the street, it might be another.
Well, I mean, you're right. Sometimes things aren't always what they seem. And that's why if I get pulled over with this nice dog sitting next to me in the car, I'm not going to say that I dog napped him. I'm just giving him a lift to his new house. He decided to move himself.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. If you felt that a dog was being abused and you saw that dog wandering on the roads, would you pick it up and bring it somewhere, even if you knew who the owners were? That's what's going on with Jamie and Susanna. They have a neighbor that they think mistreats their dog. And the dog is outside in all weather. And Jamie saw that dog wandering a few days ago, got out, was not on the leash, and he scooped up the dog, brought it to the animal shelter where he works, and gave it to one of his coworkers.
Hey, listen, man, I mean, he just felt like this has presented me with an opportunity here, right? This has been something that's been pulling on our heartstrings for a while. Makes us very upset. No, he had not reported it to animal control yet at this point. But, you know, life gets busy, right? So if this is happening over the course of a week, 2 weeks or whatever, you know, with your neighbors, you don't know everything that goes on inside the house. But you know an awful lot about what goes on outside of the house, and that's where the dog has been living.
And Susanna, I just can't believe that he did this. Like, you can't just take somebody's dog and give it to your friend because you think it's being abused. Like, even though she's sad, she thinks he went the wrong way about it.
Watch me.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. David, whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on Jamie's side. He sounds like the type of guy that gets things done and takes care of everything. And his wife is, like, totally got to go work out or something, get rid of her anxiety.
I love the fact that he takes care of the things that have to get done. You've made him the equalizer of rehoming this dog. Mm. I love it.
Sharon, whose side are you on today?
You know what, Jamie's 100% right. Tell the wife to get rid of her freaking anxiety, because you know what? The dog is going to end up in the backyard again. It's terrible to have the dog in the backyard 24 hours a day screaming. You know what? They should take the owner, put a leash on him, and put him in the backyard 24/7.
I think the best way to calm down, Susanna, is give her one of those doggy CBD treats, all right? Relaxes me right away, okay?
And then you'll
be fine.
Hey, Kayla, whose side are you on?
I am 100% on Jamie's side. The husband. You know, it's not like he found a random dog walking the street, you know, and just decided to let his coworker have it. He has seen this dog be clearly neglected and God knows what else, completely on his side, trying to give him a better life.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jamie, our audience agreed with you. Whether or not it's legal, they felt that you did what you thought was going to be right for that animal, and for that reason, people were behind you.
I mean, I sleep well at night. I'll put it that way.
And I think that says a whole lot about the situation. My wife had me fly a drone over a house to check on a dog one time that we were considering we were going to have to Mission Impossible get from a neighbor.
That's insane.
Luckily, it was resolved. Luckily, it was resolved. But, you know.
That is crazy people talk.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, no, it was a real thing. It was a real thing, 100%. Susanna, are you going to be all right? You know, if the cops come to the door, just do the grown-up thing and be like, he did it! Don't take me! Don't take me!
You know, I think we're going to be able to get away with saying, we just saw this dog wandering and he didn't have a collar, so we turned him into a shelter.
That's right.
And he's been adopted. I think we're going to be okay. I do still have some back of my head stress about it.
Well, I do too, because you don't know if that dog is microchipped. I guess you know now that you gave it to one of your coworkers.
Right,
but
right. I'm guessing you scanned the dog and all that, Jamie?
This guy is not the going to microchip his dog.
Okay.
He barely acknowledges it.
Right. All right. Well, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com. Is there anything more awkward than going to somebody's house? They're cooking for you and it's disgusting. Raven, producer John, I feel like this comes up all the time because whenever you're invited to a dinner party, unless it's catered and they're cooking for you, you have to pretend like it's absolutely delicious, even if it's not.
Yeah, the first time my wife ever came to eat with the Portuguese side of my family, right? I mean, she's Italian, right? So she came in, she saw what she thought was like a sausage ball or even maybe a hush puppy there on a tray, took a big bite of it. Those are cod balls, right? And they're baked, not fried. Definitely not the sensation she was looking for. She still talks about it to this day. It's been nearly 20 years.
That doesn't sound good even. That's
well,
tough.
You know what? I'll tell my grandmother you spit in her face. How about that, John?
You know what?
All right. Yeah. That's what I'll do.
Come on. But when you think you're getting an arancini and you're getting some rice and you get cod in your mouth, that's definitely a big difference.
All I'm saying.
Yeah.
Listen, it's Lent. There's a time and a place.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay?
Well, all right. So the other day, I had a similar experience. So I went to my buddy Nick's house. And I should say this. My buddy Nick is a great cook, but he likes to experiment. And eight times out of 10, he knocks it out of the park, and it's really great. This time, he wanted to make his own pasta. Anna, has your family ever done the homemade pasta
thing? I mean, my family makes homemade pasta all the time, but they're pros.
Right.
It is a lot more difficult than you think it is.
It's dramatically more difficult. You know what makes it more difficult? Involving a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old in the process as well. Because it was my son, who's 4, and his kids, who are 2 and 1. So we get in there, and he's got the dough, and he's like, dude, we're going to do it. It's great. He's like making a big show of taking the flour and throwing it on the table, and then we're kneading the thing, and it's getting all thin. He's like, now let's have the kids cut it into spaghetti. That's a mistake, first of all. Mm-hmm. And it also becomes apparent that there is way too little of this pasta to feed the 5 people who are going to eat it all. So bail on that, ball all the dough back up, and he starts making gnocchi. And I'm like, okay, all right, that's pretty good.
Now you've had 37 pairs of hands in this dough.
Yeah. Oh, so many hands.
Yeah.
And no one washed. No one washed.
Disgusting.
Huh? It's a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old, bro. It was real gross.
That's why you should wash their hands.
Yeah. No. They make the Play-Doh spaghetti. The real dinner is in this room.
That's funny because they've been playing with Play-Doh before that, but I digress.
Oh.
So, yeah. Serve it up. Is it possible for it to be overcooked and undercooked at the same time?
I mean,
is that a real thing?
I feel like whatever you ate was not good.
Yeah, hand sweat and Play-Doh.
It was tough.
That's what you had.
It was tough and there was so little of it.
Yeah, I had an issue. I'll never forget it. I was little. I probably had to be, I don't know, 7 years old, and I went to a play date at my friend's house. And she was Italian, like I'm Italian. Her parents were born and raised in Italy. I never had escarole and bean soup. But when I went to Danielle's house, her mom gave it to us after school for a snack.
Oh, boy.
Like, in my mind now, as somebody who loves escarole and bean soup, like, it seems so whatever, but it haunted me for years. And I never wanted to go back to her house because I was
hated
afraid
her mother.
That I would have to, like, starve because I couldn't eat the escarole and bean soup.
That's not a seven-year-old snack. What's she doing? Come on.
Well, that mean lady?
When you're born and raised in Italy and you come over and your daughter's friend, whose parents are also born and raised in Italy, you think she knows about escarole. I did not.
You eat what's put in front of you.
D went out on the streets to ask people the grossest thing you ever ate at somebody's house.
Oh, I had spaghetti with, like, slices of tomato on top of it. The spaghetti was cooked. The tomato was, like, cold, and it was awful. I ate the whole thing to be respectful, but not happy.
Do you eat the whole thing if it's disgusting? Yes or no? John?
No, you put a dent in it. You put a respectable dent.
Okay.
I also go with respectable dent. I was just thinking that this kid is the highest fortitude. If he's a friend, you keep that friend. All right. The one that's willing to put down the entire meal to be respectful of your family. Good job.
What is the most disgusting thing you've eaten at somebody's house? Not to be disrespectful, but tell us the story. 1-800-330-9999. It's the grossest thing you ever ate at somebody's house. It's so awkward when you get invited to somebody's house for lunch or for dinner, and then they make something that's absolutely nasty, and you have to, like, eat it and be respectful, right? Mm.
Sometimes it's just something that you've never been exposed to before. Sometimes it's actually something that's disgusting.
What's the grossest thing you ever ate at somebody's house? 1-800-330-9999. We had Dee out on the streets to ask people that exact question.
The unwanted veggie platter. Like, nobody wants the veggie platter.
Some people want the veggie platter.
The veggie platter is the easiest platter to pack back up and take right home with you.
And it's safe. You know that you just eat a carrot stick and dip it in the ranch dressing. You're not going to get sick.
You know, it's funny. The carrots are the one thing that I don't mess with because I hate to see them after when they turn white.
Yes.
Because people, they supposedly bleach them, right? They rinse them with something. I don't know. Whatever. I'm a broccoli dude.
Really?
I'll dip the floret right there in the ranch.
I'll eat every celery stick in there.
Yes, yes. Celery is safe.
I mean, I've had some pretty nasty dips at some houses.
I don't think I've ever had a bad dip in my entire life.
Is that a thing?
Is there such a thing as a bad dip?
If you found a dip that you didn't like, you were dipping the wrong thing in it.
Wait, what are you talking about, a bad dip? I've never, like, what could they have possibly put in there that was wrong?
I hope there's no follow-up questions with that guy.
So one time I was over at a buddy's house. We ended up making some, like, 6 or 7 cheese pasta dish, but some of the cheese had gone a little bad, and we didn't know that. And so we were eating it, and it was just really sour. And we were like, "Why? This doesn't feel right." And I got sick later that night, and it was very, very bad.
You get food poisoning at your buddy's house who made you dinner. Do you tell them? Yes or no?
As a guy, and it's my buddy, absolutely, 100%. My buddy's wife or sister? Nope. Never, not ever, not his mother, no way, no how. Certainly would not do that.
I had to imply it the other day that it happened. So my best friend is the best, and she bought my daughter, who has nut allergies, allergy-free brownies. Dakota got violently ill. She's only thrown up twice in her life, and this was the second time.
Oh, no.
I had to go pick her up from school. She couldn't stop throwing up after eating the brownies. Yeah. And, like, I had to tell her, it's the only thing she ate.
Yeah, don't do it again.
And I didn't say it just like that. I'm like, she was really sick. She ate the brownies. And I had to let her do the math herself to figure it out.
Yeah, well, there'll be no more deliveries, I'm guessing, after that.
What is the grossest thing you have eaten at somebody's house? John, grossest thing you ever had to eat when you were at somebody else's house?
When I was about 16, a little side job I had on the weekend was working at some little old lady's house, picking weeds out of the walkways and things around the pool or whatever. And she had an older man there that was the landscaper, was the caretaker. And it was raining out one day, and he said, "Oh, come on, we got to go in, Mrs. Yucca," whatever her name was. I think it was Gilberti. "Mrs. Gilberti made us some soup." Well, I think it was like eyeball soup or something. It was disgusting.
Oh, terrible.
And I remember sitting there, and she's standing there going, "How is it?" You know, like you said, you got to say, "Oh, it's wonderful." 50 years ago, and I remember like it was yesterday. Right. Yeah,
what
was
kind
disgusting.
Of eyeballs do you use for eyeball soup?
It was just
I don't
gross.
Know, fish eyeballs or something. I don't know. But it was disgusting.
You just want it to stop raining so you can get back outside to work. Thanks for the call, man.
Hey, Mary Frances, grossest thing that you ever ate at somebody's house?
Going back to when we were in my 20s and my best friend got her first apartment, she had a bunch of people over, and she brought lemon pepper flavored linguine, and then served it with a jar of roasted garlic marinara sauce.
Ew.
Oh.
Over lemon pepper pasta.
Oh.
She was just like, let's do it all. Let's put it all in one dish and let's keep our fingers crossed.
That's like if somebody, you know, like in a sci-fi movie when they say to like the scientists, they're like, hey, can you go in the kitchen and make a bomb? That's what just happened. That's what happened there. Combination that's not supposed
to
happen.
That was a gastric bomb.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $1,400. Thanks to Cricket. Switch to Cricket and let your flip era unfold by getting the all-new extraordinary Motorola Razr for just $199.99. Smile, you're on Cricket. Pamela, you ready to play?
I am ready.
All right, Pamela, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Pam.
Okay, here we go. Hey, Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in. Same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yeah.
Number one, Ariana Grande says whoever leaked her demo for the song Fantasize will face jail time. She's getting to release what musical movie?
Wicked.
Number two, Ryan Gosling will perform I'm Just Ken from Barbie at the Oscars on March 10th. It's nominated for Best Original Song, and he's nominated for Best Supporting Actor. But the actress that played Barbie did not get a Best Actress nomination. Who is that?
Margot Robbie.
Number three, Kellogg's CEO is facing backlash for saying that people should eat cereal for dinner to save money. Snap, Crackle, Pop is from what cereal?
Rice Krispies.
Number four, Drea De Mateo was on the verge of losing her house when she joined OnlyFans. She says within 5 minutes, she was able to pay off her mortgage. Her most famous role was Adriana from what HBO show?
Oh, The Sopranos. I love The Sopranos.
I need you to get this last one, Pamela. Number five.
All right, let's...
Parents are complaining that Peppa Pig is a bad example for kids because she's rude, impatient, and a brat. But Hasbro says that Peppa is just self-assertive and self-confident. Peppa's best friend is a sheep. What's her name?
Oh my gosh, Susie.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in. Where'd he go?
Yo.
I think she just beat you.
Oh yeah.
No way.
Yep. All right. Let's see. All five. Number one, Adriana.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I'm
all
excited.
Right.
Let me be excited.
Relax.
Let me be excited.
Ask some questions.
Number one, Ariana Grande says whoever leaked her demo of the song "Fantasize" will face jail time. She's getting ready to release what musical movie?
Wicked.
Yes. You need to get all five of these.
Yeah, I remember. Great. I mean, you just stopped talking about it.
No pressure.
This is how I get them on tilt. Don't worry. Number two, I know what I'm doing. Ryan Gosling will perform I'm Just Ken from Barbie at the Oscars on March 10th. It's nominated for Best Original Song, and Ryan is nominated for Best Supporting Actor. The actress that played Barbie didn't get a Best Actress nomination. Now, who is that?
Margot Robbie.
Yes. It's Robbie, but yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Did she tell you that?
Yes.
Personally told you that?
Yes.
Great.
Yes. Number three. Come, Mattias. Kellogg's CEO is facing backlash for saying that people should eat cereal for dinner to save money. Snap, Crackle, Pop is from what cereal?
Rice Krispie.
Yep. Number four. Drea De Mateo was on the verge of losing her house when she joined OnlyFans. And then within 5 minutes, she says she was able to pay off her mortgage.
Ain't that something?
Her most famous role was Adriana on what HBO show?
Sopranos.
And it all comes down to this one. Number five, parents are complaining that Peppa Pig is a bad example for kids because she's rude, impatient, and a brat.
I heard that.
But Hasbro says Peppa is just self-assertive and self-confident.
Mm.
Peppa's best friend is a sheep. What is that sheep's name?
Oh, I'll just take a guess and say Sally. Brother's name is George.
Well,
oh my God.
The brother's name is George.
Yeah.
But it's not Sally.
Oh.
Unfortunately, her name is Susie.
Oh.
And
well.
Just like that, Pamela, you are $1,400 richer. Congratulations, you just beat Raven.
Thank you.
I'm going to warn you guys all right now. I'm watching Peppa Pig now.
Oh.
I'm watching Bluey now.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching Paw Patrol.
Okay.
So the run of these questions being the ringers is coming to an end, just so you know, because I'm babysitting.
All right. Congratulations, Pamela.
It's Pamela, and I just beat Raven.
Well, congratulations. $1,400 on a Wednesday. That's going to feel pretty good. Great game.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Everything from the 90s is making a comeback, including Monica Lewinsky. She's been all over the news the last couple of days. Here's the news report.
Monica Lewinsky. She's the latest face of the sustainable brand Reformation, the campaign that they've put together. It's in collaboration with the nonprofit voting organization, vote.org. They're trying to bring awareness to voter registration and participation. They're here to remind you that you've, quote, got the power.
The name of the store is actually Reformation.
Reformation. Yeah. Right. And that would make more sense. Yeah. Sounds better.
Uh-huh. It's an online dress shop. They've got clothing. It's actually really nice. I wish they had real stores because I would like to try this stuff on.
This is kind of tongue-in-cheek then, right? Reformation as far as, like, you know, you can still reclaim and seize your power and that type of thing. And then it's a dress shop.
Right.
Thank you, Monica.
She's turning 50 this year. And, you know, I could talk a lot about Monica Lewinsky because her story has always bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she made poor choices in her early 20s, but she's the one that became the laughingstock of a country for the rest of her life, destroyed her life, right?
I mean, arguable that both parties involved, but okay. Right. Yeah, and several parties actually involved.
Everybody. And I just always felt bad because I felt like she was bullied, she was made fun of. She was off limits to nobody. Everybody made fun of the poor woman.
Well, it was the first time, too, in American politics that I can remember of presidential-type stuff where they did not respect the institution. All of a sudden, they were like, no, we're going to run with this story.
Yes.
And they ran with every bit of it and published every word of it, of course.
And she has tried to come back and, like, fix her image so many times where she had a handbag line. She had a talk show.
She doesn't owe anybody an apology, though.
Right. She did a reality show. I have a lot of respect for her because I can't imagine that was easy.
She survived.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Yes. And not for nothing. She looks beautiful. These dresses and how she looks in these images, she looks absolutely gorgeous. So she spoke out about 10 years about cyberbullying. And I think, like, you got to give that woman her props. She deserves it.
I just want to hear her endorsement. Just kidding.
Well, it's so funny because it's all about voting. And I was like, I actually have no idea who she's supporting. Right. No clue whatsoever.
I don't think she's a fan of either.
Yeah.
Like most of us.
Okay. So also trending, Wendy's. So Wendy's is rolling out something new and it's got people all kind of fired up, the fast food chain.
The fast food giant planning to test out dynamic pricing as early as 2025. It's a practice that charges different prices for the same items based on demand throughout the day.
So if you go to Wendy's when it's busy, you're going to pay more for your burger and your fries.
I mean, I saw this on TV yesterday. Just the news story was running in the background and my wife from the kitchen was like, what? Yeah. People are like freaked out about this. And listen, they've already done this with, like, you know, tickets and stuff like that for concerts. And this is how you hear about, you know, people wanting to pay $5,000, $6,000 to go see Bruce Springsteen or whatever. I am not going to give you $4,000 for a Baconator.
But the truth of the matter is,
I'm not doing it.
And I was listening to a lot of the news reports about this over the last, you know, 24 hours. And they make a good point. If a burger and, like, the value number 7 goes up by 15 cents when you go at noon and there's a long line at the drive-thru, are you going to realize that? Probably not. 15 cents.
But that doesn't make it right.
Well, I don't know.
Morally.
Right. But on the bottom line, they're going to be able to profit a lot more and they may be able to pay their people more.
That's great. So now UNICEF is worried about what's happening with Wendy's. That makes sense.
Right. I don't think it's right.
It's a good thing.
I don't think it's right, but why do we have to keep paying for everything? I don't know what the right or wrong answer is, but if I have to wait an hour to get my, like, burger for a little bit less, I guess I could wait an hour, right?
I mean, right. Right.
Here it comes. It's the Craigslist Price is Right.
Jeff, today we're playing Craigslist Price is Right for the desirable, the beautiful, the glorious Anna and Raven Stanley Cup. Are you excited about this thing or what?
I am so excited. Can't wait.
That's what I like to hear.
They're so ugly.
Easy game to play. Anna is going to describe for us an item that's for sale right now on Craigslist. I'm going to take a shot at the price. All you have to do is correctly identify whether or not my guess is higher than, lower than, or equal to the listed price. Do that, and the cup is yours. Cool?
All right. Got it.
All right, Jeff. Today we have...
She loves to do that.
Martial arts equipment and swords.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. There are 15 images. It says, selling equipment from martial arts studio.
Mm-hmm.
Would like to sell it all together. Tanfas. Brand new bow staffs.
Okay, nice. Love a bow staff.
Uniforms. Fighting canes.
Yep, definitely.
3-section staff. And wooden training swords.
Oh, snap!
Oh.
Also, brand new mouth guards and cups.
I mean, I don't want a used mouth guard or a cup. Who wants that?
Well, that's why it says they're brand new, so you don't get confused.
Okay.
And then it just says Tai Chi.
I'm supposed to take his word for it? All right. All right. I'm going to need photos here.
Now, I will say that the pictures they put, they didn't clean up around it. So the place looks absolutely filthy and disgusting.
Oh, you mean it looks like some, you know, middle-aged man's basement apartment that he has at his mom's house? Because
yes.
I would have never thought of that.
Here's one of the weapons.
Okay, yep, that's a bow staff right there.
Bow staff.
I mean, everybody's got one of those.
First of all, I didn't know fighting canes was a real thing.
Oh, yeah, it's much different than your grandpa's cane.
Yeah.
Unless your grandpa was a ninja.
Oh, look. Here's some Everlast punching gloves.
Oh, nice. I don't think of that when I think of karate.
I'm looking for more karate
type looking stuff. Tai Chi is like relaxing.
Let's see. What else can I show you? Oh, do you want to see a box of dirty, gross karate shoes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, so far, there's been nothing all that magical with these photos. I got to be honest with you, Jeff. I don't know. I might go low on this here. Do you have any other photos you want to show me, Anna?
Well, here is a picture of, how would you describe that?
It's a banner with, like, you know, Chinese symbols on there that are telling us the way of karate, I guess. All right,
Hold on, do you want to see the fighting canes? Here's the fighting canes.
All right, fighting canes. That looks like a regular cane.
Okay.
I'm going 750 on the whole lot, believe it or not. 750 on the whole lot, because there's nothing in those photos that says to me it's worthwhile.
All right, so Jeff, do you think the actual retail price of this entire martial arts equipment and swords, all to be sold together, is higher than 750, lower than 750, or is that the actual retail price?
I'm going to say higher because everybody puts it up higher on Craigslist, even if it's not that great of stuff.
Oh, Jeff.
Oh, no.
Sadness.
Was it 400? Was it 400?
300.
Oh, man. 300. Somebody's got to pay their cable bill.
I mean, I showed you a box of used shoes. And I told you the floor was dirty.
Jeff, I'm so sorry. This glorious cup will remain here with us,
that's,
I guess.
That's actually not true. We're going to give it to the next caller at 1-800-330-9999.
You think that makes him feel better or worse?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.